And we will move on to the DIWA regulations for discussion or action. I'd like to invite Mrs. Donna Polk and Mrs. Laura McCransky to provide information on DIA regulations.
I'm also here.
Oh, okay.
So Associate Secretary Dr. Michael Rodriguez is joining us, who oversees DIAA. And
so before I turn it over to Donna, I know that we have non-regulations on there, but most of those regulations are on for non-substantive changes. And also, we're doing a restructuring of the regulations for ease of use for our stakeholders. We've received lots of feedback from the Sunset Committee. We've also received feedback from our stakeholders about the difficulty of using and referring to DIAA regs. So with that context in mind, I'm going to turn it over to Donna, and she'll also review the areas where substance changes were made.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. And I want to apologize. I'm in my office right around the corner from you guys, but I'm a little under the weather, so I didn't want to be in the room with everyone. I am COVID negative to make sure that everyone is aware of that. But in case I have a coughing spell or anything like that, Mr. Rodriguez will tag team and kind of pick up, and then I can, once I collect myself, be able to get back into where I left off. Before I get into the specific regulations, I would like to just provide a little back history on where we are, just to expand a little bit on what Mr. Rodriguez just shared. DIA is starting to restructure, like Mr. Rodriguez stated, our regulations with the proposed regulations that are in front of you now that went out for publication on June 1st. We are looking to repeal certain sections and also creating new sections. Those new sections, as Mr. Rodriguez identified, are going to allow for easier navigation by our stakeholders to be able to search regulations, and we are able to be more specific in our subject matters and being able to move forward our regulation a little quicker with those subject matters now being separated. I will share that DIA is currently under the sunset process with JLSOC, and we were placed on sunset in June 2019. If I can go even further back, in June of 2018, DIA was charged with creating regulation that addresses coaches out of season through Senate Concurrent Resolution 79. So I'm saying all of that to kind of put all of this in context and how the board has been working and being tasked with those specific items in mind. So the board has worked diligently with Rules and Regulations Committee. We worked with our Sports Medicine Advisory Committee to make sure that we are proposing language when we are addressing specifically coaching out of season. So we were referring and getting advice from those two groups, as well as within this last year, we have been working with the Public Integrity Commission to ensure that our public school coaches are adhering to the current ethics within our state. So the language that we have in our coaching out of season section is specifically addressing and has been approved by the Public Integrity Commission and language that is adhering to the code of conduct. So I'm sharing all of that just to give you context in regards to the work that the board is doing in regards to addressing the concurrent resolution that we have been charged with, and also to make sure that as the board will now hear any written comments that come before the board at next month's meeting, if any changes would occur, we would be back in front of you guys in the following month to address any amendments that the board will have, or if there are changes after the written comment period. So I wanted to make sure that I kind of shared the back history in regards to how the board is kind of derived at the proposed regulations that are in front of you, Specifically as it relates to coaching out of season, being under our current sunset process, having the charge with concurrent resolution, and then ensuring that we are following the code of conduct with PIC. So we have several regulations in front of you. The first one, Regulation 1006, is currently being repealed, and it's being repealed and will be replaced in other areas of the newly created sections. 1008 is our middle school regulations. 1009 is our high school regulations. And those portions of those are also being repealed. And those sections that are remaining, we will continue to work and probably be back in front of you in a future date to address any changes there.
Donna, this is Sean Brittingham. Can I jump in real quick? 106, 108, 109, you're repealing. Is that what it?
106 is being repealed. 1008, 1009 portions of those regulations are being repealed.
Gotcha. All right, thank you.
Okay. And the sections that we're taking out, some of those sections that are being repealed are in the newly created regulations. So the first newly created regulation is 1024, and that is DIA member schools. And that's created to have regulations specific to our member school requirements. Also within that, that's where you will see some of Regulation 1006, 1008, 1009 in there. The substantive change in this one is we're adding language to address member schools with enrollments of under 200 to have a fee of $500. And that's just to kind of ease the burden to those schools with low enrollment. So that would be Regulation 1024. The next regulation is 1034, is the health and safety requirements. This is an area that we're creating that will address all the requirements to protect the well-being of our student athletes. Within this section, the language that's being added here is a language requiring that students prior to any participation in activities must have a physical. Our Sports Medicine Advisory Committee felt it was important that is in place for all the students wanting to participate. The next newly created section is 1035 in season.
Can I stop real quick again, Mrs. Pohl?
Sure.
This is Sean Brittingham. Does anybody have any question on those two before we move on? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. 1035 is in season athletic activities and contact. That newly created regulation is a requirement that will address all of our athletic activities during the actual in season. And that is pulling from regulations currently that we have in 108, 109. So we're just restructuring and putting that into this section so we're more sport specific and finding those specific regulations. In that, the language that was added was language that will share with the student athletes that they're able to participate in non-school teams so that there is no gray area in that regard. Any questions there?
All righty, thank you.
Great. I'm going to skip over 1040 real quick and go to 1042, coaches. This section was created to address requirement for our coaches. We've added language there for all of our certified and emergency coaches to hold AED and first aid certification. And we're also requiring our volunteer coaches to hold CPR, AED, and first aid certification. That we felt that it's important that our coaches are prepared in the event of an emergency. So that requirement is now for all of our coaches. We also removed the heads up football training verbiage and we replaced it with certified football training. any questions regarding our coaches' requirements. And again, all of this regulation is coming from our formerly 1008 and 1009. Those sections that were pertaining to that is where this language is coming from. 1043 is our officials. We broke out that section, so it's now a newly created section to itself. And that's the requirements where we have our recognized DIA officials associations. We also have the officials requirements for our championships that they need to, the requirements they need to meet, as well as the officials fees. Right now in this proposed regulation, there is a change to increase the fees for officials for the 22-23 academic year. So there is an increased fee there. It's also adding travel fees in the language, as well as fees for officiating scrimmages. So those are the major changes that are in this particular section that will be before you next month. Any questions regarding the official section?
This is Wally Rushton. I just have a question about the what prompted the changes in the fees. Is it something that came from the officials themselves? Is it something that DIAA thought it was an adjustment that, you know, the passage of time warranted, or was it probably some combination thereof?
It was a combination, but our Athletic Director Association did present that to the board for approval based on the factors that you mentioned, just trying to be competitive with just making sure that we're able to maintain our officials.
And one follow-up question to that, Ms. Polk, is there any differentiation? I haven't looked at the regulation yet, Kimberly, okay. But is there any differentiation with that schedule amongst the sports based on unique features of the sports themselves and what demands they may place on the officials, or is it more, is it less prescribed?
Yes, actually that's one unique thing about our fees. The fees that we have set are for all of our sports. So they will be the same fee. Football will get the same fee as field hockey officials. So we're pretty lucky in that regard, if I'm answering your question properly.
You are, and just one other follow-up question related to that is you know, I'm sure it can probably be challenging to do it any different way, but. You know, in terms of saying, well, you know, this particular sport is a longer sport. It's more taxing on the officials from a pure time commitment perspective. Sort of, I don't want to assume what the ultimate response is or thinking about that, but what's sort of the DIA's perspective about that in terms of ultimately reaching a place it sounds like where it's still even for all sports?
So in regards to that, that's a great question. There are some of our individual sports that officials would be there a little longer during the day, and we are going to be looking at those rates with additional approval by the board for those specific sports that do require that additional time that's going to be allowing them to be there a little longer, and I think it's track, wrestling, are those sports that we are looking at for that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. And any other questions regarding that before I go to our last one?
Ms. Polk, Lofink, just a quick question or an observation. I just went to my 55th year high school reunion luncheon, and two of my classmates are still officiating football.
Wow.
Since they went to my high school, they're obviously very good officials. Mm-hmm. But my question is what are you doing to get younger folk in officiating? And does the pay for per game or hour, as is stated here, is that impact on your ability to recruit younger officials or fresh blood? I'm not picking on old people, understand.
Yeah, some of that is a factor. Increasing it will hopefully help. We are exploring different efforts right now in regards to recruiting. So we're trying to work diligently. Dr. Axe, who's a member of our SMAC committee, is trying to work on a program that will hopefully be able to address some of that gap with our younger folks. So he's in the beginning stages of trying to get that developed, and I would love to be able to report back out on what those initiatives are going to be. I would love to be able to share with you guys later once those are identified and concrete, so that we can hopefully increase our pool of officials, because you're right, they are getting older, and there is a big gap between the older officials and then the younger ones. So we are working diligently. We know that we are going to have even more concerns over these next several years, and I'm trying to work to see how we can be creative to attract more younger officials.
Ms. Polkum, it's Mark Holodick. I'm just going to add a point, and that is, I think the first time I was on the DIAA board, I was an assistant principal. So we're going back probably close to 25 years or so ago, 20 years. Yeah, every bit of that, 25 years ago. And one of the pressing problems of the day at that time was the loss of officials. So this has been somehow, you know, knock on wood, we've been able to stay above water. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that with coming out of the pandemic to an endemic and the changes that we've experienced across so many occupations, that with this flexible schedule that people now have, that perhaps we're able to attract more folks who otherwise, you know, previously had 9-to-5 jobs and weren't able to get to the locations to actually officiate. So I think with a strong marketing plan, we might actually finally be able to crack this nut possibly and you know, have a larger pool of candidates, which by the way, drives the costs down a little bit. Right. I mean, we want to pay our officials the right way, but it'll stabilize things.
Correct.
A thought, yeah.
I agree. Thank you for sharing that.
Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry, I'm multitasking. I have to start a committee meeting right now, so I'm trying to start that on the web right now. Just one second.
How are you? I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I didn't know if I'm online.
Sorry about that. So the last newly created section is 1040, and this is where most of our substantive changes are. That's dealing with coaching out of season. So right now you'll see language in there that is going to address activities during the academic year outside of the actual playing season. And then you're going to see language that is going to address activities that can occur during the summer months. So there is a lot of information in there that we addressed in regards to limits that the PIC wanted to make sure that we had in there to ensure that our coaches wasn't forming a personal relationship. So there's language in there to address that to ensure that we were able to move this language forward. So there are limitations for camps and clinics. There's limitations during the academic year that we will, you know, if a coach wants to coach their kids during the academic year, they would be able to do that, but they would be able to follow these guidelines. And as long as they're following these guidelines, they will be able to coach their returning students. Mr. Rodriguez, did I forget anything in any of those sections?
No, the only thing I would say is, again, Regulation 1040 is completely new. So right. Everything's substantive. It's been the result of 4 years of work with the IAA board. We've held public hearings. We've listened to public comment. We have published and republished listened to feedback, repealed regulations and went back to the drawing board. So we're really hoping that this version will be the home run.
And Lofing, thank you, Rodriguez and Ms. Polk. These last 3 years have been unbelievable for you guys regarding, you know, COVID and what we had to do with changing seasons and et cetera, et cetera. The Sunset Committee process had to be ruling, and it's probably not really over, so to speak. I'm going to read 1040 very closely, but then there's one other thing. Oh, the realignment of football, I think, was another thing. I know that was probably, was that something that DIA approved? Was that done with the conferences? I'm not sure, but that was a major, major change in high school sports that I appreciated personally as a fan. So thank you for all your hard work.
Great. Thank you.
This is Reverend Powell. Thank you, Ms. Pope, for your time, not to be cavalier with it. I wanted to ask a question for clarity's sake around the regulation 1034 as it relates to health and safety requirements. You indicated physical examinations. And I thought I understood you to say that there is a requirement for physical examinations now prior to participating in the sport. Well, that's proposed here, but am I understanding that that is not an expectation currently, that
is
not a physical examination required before participating in any sports?
Sorry for that miscommunication, Reverend Powell. It's for students who want to participate in like conditioning program activities, not the actual interscholastic athletic. That requirement is there for you to participate in that. But we are trying to capture the conditioning programs that there was no requirement in place for those type of activities.
I see. And then
any summer activities that they would be performing under and under the school portion.
Wonderful. And under that, the regulation 3.0, I think it's 3.5, it talks about the student athlete is temporary ineligible to participate. I guess if they have some type of physical injury and they cannot go back and participate within a 5-day window or 5-day waiting period, I was thinking, does that carry over to active competition during season, or is that just for that same window of off-season type of preparation and training?
Which specific area were you referencing?
3.0, and then you go down to 3.5, and it talks about there is a 5-day consecutive day on which they can't practice or a contest is held. So they are ineligible to return back for a 5-day period unless they see a certified physician DO, if I'm reading that correctly.
Yeah,
prior to resuming, participate athlete shall present to the athletic head or head of designated statement from a licensed MD or MO nurse practitioner that they're able to participate.
Yeah, so if they get injured, and depending on the type of injury, it may be a protocol where it might be 5 days for them to actually return. So it depends on the actual injury that the student athlete sustains to determine the length of time. But the doctor would be the one that would release that student back to being able to participate or whoever the other licensed practitioners that are identified there.
Okay. And so does that carry over through the main season? So if someone gets injured in practice, and then there's an upcoming game within the 5-day period. So they still need to get clearance in order to participate in the activity in that 5-day period.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go
yes,
ahead.
Sir.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any more questions for Mrs. Polk or Mr. Rodriguez? Now, I want to thank the two of you for being here tonight. A major piece of work for DIA and, looking forward to success this year on this.
Thank you.
I know it's been challenging, but this together.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. But
thank you again.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Good night.
Okay. Next on the agenda. Update on upcoming regulations. Anything for us?
Emily Cunningham, DOE. So coming up in regulations, they are mostly secretary only regulations. So I don't know of any that are going to be coming before this board before September or October that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Other than DIAA.
Right. Okay. Next on the agenda.
Mr. Brittingham, may I ask a question?
Sure, far away.
Yeah, okay. This may have been discussed at one of the May meetings, but that I missed it. But I'm just wondering what the status of 1519 is. It says it's in stakeholder review. But what are some of the issues, if you can share them with us, about what's coming up related to that?
Dr. Noble, is 1519 a professional standards for regulation?
Right.
I wouldn't have that, and Dr. Bradshaw is gone, but I'd be happy to ask her and get back to you.
That's all right. I'll follow up with her. Not a problem. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any more questions? Okay, next we're going to move on to public comment on regulation. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for public comment on regulations. Opportunity to sign up for public comment on regulations was available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not sign up and plan to provide public comment on regulations and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make a verbal public comment, please log into the meeting URL. Please note, the board will not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue with those offering comments during the board meeting. Do we have anybody? Mrs. Smith?
We did not have anyone signed up for public comment on regulations by email, and there is no one signed up in the chat box.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is state board business. In order to center our work around our vision, mission, guiding principles, the state board has agreed to revisit these items at each meeting for those who may be listening. The information is available on our website and e-board site. A would be committee and meeting reports. Our members have had the opportunity to provide information and written reports on any events or committee meetings since attending the last meeting, which helps move forward the work or priorities of the board. Those were compiled and posted on the e-board. We will use this meeting time for questions related to the written reports and to cover strategic items and have discussion. Are there any items the board would like to discuss? Okay, I have a couple of things quickly. First of all, I want to thank everyone. This past school year, this starts right with the DOE, the Secretary of Education, administrators, teachers, support staff, bus drivers, everybody. It was a tough year, but yet a successful year. Education in Delaware is going to move forward. We're not going to let something called COVID hinder us or anything like that, but a great year by every district and everyone involved in education. Second, I need everyone to respond to Wendy Turner's about the equity meeting, and I would like to have that done by end of business on Friday. We have got to schedule a date, the equity session. It's a priority with our state board. I believe July 13th, 5:30 to 7:30 has been the most successful date for everybody so far. So please let Wendy know something, and hopefully we can get the schedule and get this accomplished. It's very important and critical to our success. That's the only things I have. Does anybody else have anything?
No, Mr. Leader.
All righty. I'll take that silence as we be moving on.
I just want to, is this the same time we're designating for committee reports?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
All right, consistent with my prior nonconformity with the written report, I'll just make a very brief.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
I just want to make a brief verbal note about the joyful participation I had, along with Secretary Holledick, I might add, to be a part of the unveiling of the new Dr. Joseph E. Johnson Elementary School, which was now replacing what was the former Highlands Elementary School in the Red Clay Consolidated School District. Dr. Johnson, who I'm sure many know what a luminary he was in public education in the state of Delaware, he was very richly deserving of having this school dedicated in his name. It was a lovely day. The children were there at the school to be a part of it. Some of Dr. Johnson's family were there to participate in the event. And it was just a wonderful way to commemorate a dedicated servant to Delaware public education. So I greatly enjoyed it and just wanted to note that. And if you're in the Highlands and you pass by the school, don't be surprised if you see Dr. Joseph E. Johnson on the masthead of the school. So just wanted to note that.
Very nice. Anything else?
Real quickly, I absolutely did forget to send in my written report on it, but I'm going to mention it quickly. Promise it won't take long. I mentioned this last time. I got a grant to run a committee next fall, a conference, I mean, next fall called Proud Schools, whose the goal of it is to create a safe space to have conversations and to teach educators on how to be equitable for LGBT plus students and teaching those students how to advocate for themselves. I did just want to mention, because this will be my last time being able to mention it as a board member, that we were put on the PD calendar for next year. So hopefully that will allow us to have a greater attendance. But so if anyone wants any information on that, you could reach out to me through my email or my number. I believe most of y'all have my contact information. And if not, it's online.
Thank you. Outstanding. Very nice. Okay, we're going to move on to State Board Business B, FY23 preliminary budget. It is for action. As of 6/16, the State Board has $70,000 in operating funds allocated in the FY23 Governor's recommended budget. The FY23 Governor's recommended budget is not final, it's still going through the legislative process. The Division of Accounting has financial deadlines for entering purchase orders in the first state financial system prior to our July 21st, 2022 meeting for services that begin on July 1st, 2022. For this reason, to avoid an after-the-fact approval request, the state has suggested that we take the conditional action on our budget. Should the allocation in the state budget change, we revisit our budget at the July 2022 meeting. Proposed budget before us tonight does not account for the estimated $15,000 in carryover funds from FY2022 that we anticipate. The use of this funding can be revisited at a future meeting. With that said, is there a motion to approve the proposed FY23 budget items as presented, pending approval of the state budget with $70,000 in operating funding for the state board?
Lofink so moved.
Lofink made a motion. Need a second.
Wait for a second.
Wait for a second. Ms. Smith, please call the roll.
Discussion.
Okay.
Wait, discussion before voting.
Sure.
Okay. I just want to make a comment. As I look at the budget, I think one of the critical areas, and as we move forward, especially with Jenna not here and knowing our commitment to our research and data work as we move forward, I think the role of the policy fellow that we have is a really important role. And if you can look over the years, we went from spending zero money in that area and then up to 19,000 and then back down, now we're back down to proposed 10,000. we've been able to do that and keep getting policy fellows from UD because we have gotten small grants from NASB that we've written. And what I would like to try to do is try to stabilize that line in the budget so that we can make a commitment to having this research fellow as part of our support. I think if we can make a financial commitment to that, then we can probably get a commitment from the university that they will be sure, if not UD, Dell States. But if we have we can get a commitment that we can get a student to assist our executive director. I think the role of the executive director is huge. And I think when you start getting into the inner workings of what that individual is required to do, having good support in that area, it is critical to their capacity to do their job. So I just want to kind of make that point that I'd like to see us try to stabilize that part of our budget and get it to the point where we just have it as a firm line that so every year we can go forward and communicate to either one of the universities that we want to support a fellow and we're in their discussion loop. Because I know having been at UD, you know, these discussions start very early on as soon as students start applying, like what fellowships do we have? And we don't want to be in the situation where we're playing catch up all the time. I think if we could stabilize that, I think it would be good all around. Thank you.
I agree with you, Dr. Noble. I know we discussed this briefly. I think it would be a good practice for us as long as we had the finances. Our executive director was extremely busy and could have used some more help. And I would like to have that opportunity for our next executive director also. So I think it's something we can visit and probably get a stabilized line item in there for it. But thank you for your comment. Is there anybody else? Any more comments, please? If not, I'll entertain a motion. Did you
take a motion? Lofink, so moved, yes.
Lofink made a motion. I need a second, please.
Pfeiffer, second.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Smith, please call a roll.
Mr. Brittingham.
Yes.
Ms. Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Mr. Lofink.
Yes.
Dr. Noble.
Yes.
Reverend Powell.
Yes.
Mr. Rushdan.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. C, legislative update and consideration. A summary of educated related bills currently proposed in legislation is available for the board to review. As a reminder, during legislative session, we will have an item on our agenda to give board members an opportunity to ask questions or raise discussion related to these items. I did not see any on there. Do you have anything, Secretary?
Well, there is. I'll just say there is a lot happening. And I think, you know, all considered, perhaps next month we provide the board with a summary of past legislation that recently passed that, you know, has a direct impact upon kids. Just information that I think the board would be would want to be familiar with, aware of, and then Ms. Cunningham and I could answer questions that the board might have. And if there are any particular questions, perhaps having to do with finance, the cost of certain things, et cetera, we could have Kim Klein either in that meeting or bring her back the next month, just so that the board is informed. There is, as it appears all of you know, just so much happening, and we've got 2 weeks left, and you can imagine how very busy it is.
If I could add one thing, and I emailed this bill, I think I sent it to all of you. It is House Bill 436, and what it does is it extends the date in which the recommendation and plan of the Reading Consortium for Educational Equity must be reviewed and acted upon by the State Board of Education. The extension is necessary due to delays mostly caused by the COVID pandemic. So what it does is the original bill said it was January 1st, 2021 to take effect on or after July 1st, 2023. So now it reads, the consortium's recommendation and plan must be reviewed and acted upon by the State Board of Education on or after July 1st, 2023, and no later than October 1st, 2023, to take effect on or after January 1st, 2025, and no later than July 1st, 2026. So it bumps the date out. This bill is it passed out of the House Education Committee last week. So it is in the House. It'll be heard in the House. I thought it was on an agenda today, but it doesn't look like it moved. And so then it'll go to the Senate Education Committee and then to the Senate.
And as far as we can tell, there's no reason to think it won't pass.
Correct.
Excellent. Thank you. Any more questions? Secretary Holopick or Mrs. Cunningham?
This is Audrey Noble. I've been attending the DSBA Legislative Committee meetings, and for our next meeting, we might want to think about inviting Mr. Marinucci as well. I know he's been providing a lot of feedback on many of those bills, so he might be able to help with this discussion as well from the board perspective.
Good idea.
Yep. Anyone else? Thank you. Next is the secretary's report. At this time, we will welcome Dr. Holodick to provide his report.
This afternoon, I had the pleasure of joining our 2022 Behavioral Health Professionals of the Year from the respective districts. And they were honored at first in the House and then in the Senate, just like our Teachers of the Year. This is the first time we've ever done this in Delaware, where we've recognized behavioral health specialists. There is a Behavioral Health Specialist of the Year for the entire state. Her name is Rosa DiPiazza, and she spoke today in both chambers. Rosa is from the Milford School District. She's a school psychologist, very impressive, all 19. The other 18 are equally impressive. It's always a hard decision to select one out of the 19. I wanted to make you aware that we launched our summer, what we're calling the Summer of Opportunity Search database to help families find summer learning opportunities for their students. Summer learning is very, very important to us. It always is, but especially this year as parents are more confident and comfortable sending their young students to extended programs in the summer months through schools or community-based or even faith-based organizations. You know, where we were last summer with COVID, and certainly the summer before, it was much harder to convince families that, you know, those programs were going to be safe. So we're really, you know, pushing the throttle hard, or turning it hard, I should say, on getting students to do things this summer. I actually wrote an op-ed about it. It was published recently in the Cape Gazette because it's that important. We opened our site for child care workers to register for $1,000 direct payment from the state, and have gotten a lot of child care workers that additional compensation finally. So much thanks to our new Associate Secretary Caitlin Gleason, who is overseeing early child care efforts. And she wasn't the only one. Emily was very much involved in that, making it happen, as were others at the department. So I thank all of them. We continue to seek public engagement and input into the Wilmington Learning Collaborative plans. This, just over the past 2 weeks, we met with all three school districts. Next month, July, is when they will vote on whether or not they're going to sign the MOU and join the collaborative. And we are very hopeful that they will, because with where the current draft MOU sits, I am, as secretary, very comfortable with it. I think it's an opportunity to work collaboratively and also give the city a voice. And then my final, the final thing I wanted to communicate tonight is that I had the pleasure Monday night of attending the Compassionate Champions celebration here in Dover. And Shelby, our own Shelby Ferris, was the state, one of two state of Delaware trauma awareness ambassadors and Compassionate Champions, along with Tamara Cassette from Concord High School. The two were recognized. And I just wanted to thank Shelby for her work. This is her last board meeting. And while I've only been with her 4 months, it's obvious she's brought a lot to the position. And we thank you, Shelby.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well done.
Yes, thank you, Shelby, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions, Secretary Holodeck?
Just a hear for Shelby.
I agree. I can't say enough about her.
Question for the secretary, just discussion point. I see that we have Wilmington Learning Collaborative meeting, I guess at Warner, maybe next week or maybe on Tuesday. The question I have is the charter school buy-in for Wilmington Learning Collaborative. How's that going, or how's that looking in the prospect for that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So charter schools have not been excluded, but the truth is we really targeted and approached the three districts first. Sure. There are some charters who have expressed an interest, but I think the charters that are in the city, I had a visit just I guess it's about 2 weeks ago to what is the technical term for the building that holds a number of charter schools, including
community education building?
Yeah, CEB. I did a tour, and they have a lot of innovative things happening currently. Not that our traditional districts don't, but the point is, I think they are sort of doing a let's wait and see how it gets off the ground, and then they may be interested in joining, but those three districts will have to have a say in that.
Right.
So I see that being, if that interest is still there after the first year, Mr. Lofink, I could see sort of another similar conversation happening, like the one is happening now between the three districts.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Sure.
Mr. Secretary, this is Reverend Powell here. Wanted to just thank you and underscore the significance of your op-ed ad as it relates to the Summer of Opportunity. It was very enjoyable to read. It's very refreshing, and to know that you are really passionate about supporting this opportunity for not only us in school, but community-based organizations and faith-based collaborative, which you probably are aware that I've been very engaged with that, and we have set at least 6 of those up in the city of Wilmington. So we really appreciate that. And then for you to extend this information on your digital platform on the state of Delaware, I think is important. When we talk about accelerated learning, when we first introduced accelerated learning, we talked about some elements of it, which was very important, which was high quality instruction material, which you do have a icon on the site for that. And I think that's important also. One of the things that we realize that's important for success and to make sure that we have the measurable outcomes is one-on-one tutors. And a part of last year's initiative with the state and some of the district, they supported the one-on-one tutoring, which I think really drove the outcomes that we were looking for. In terms of support, financial resources, support, do you see that aspect of the accelerated learning model being supported? Or if it is not, how can that actually be supported as we go throughout the Summer of Opportunity?
Yeah, it's a great question, Reverend. And it's so, we're investing right now, as the article details, in training high school students to work in community-based organizations that are servicing, our students. That's the primary investment. The other investment is into the high quality instructional materials. In terms of the one-on-one tutoring, I'm not familiar with that investment last summer because, of course, I wasn't in the position. So I'll follow up with you in regard to, you know, what kind of financial commitment, if any of the department can make to that. I just need to better understand what we did last summer, and then I'll follow up with you. Sound good?
That's excellent. There have been a lot of collaborations that have evolved from last year, and one of which is the United Way has been a very important staple, and one who has advocated and identified resources to support these learning and wellness hubs across the state. And so with that, there have been some support around, some vendors like Back to Basics and those type of things. And so what we've been trying to approach is the districts and some of the charters to utilize some of their ARPA money and their resources to partner with and provide that element of the accelerated learning, which is really important. So that one-on-one tutoring to get that done on a weekly basis, maybe twice. And we've added some social and emotional elements to the program also with music and all the cultural related activities. So we've really built a really nice model, and I'd love to share that with you. And there have been some significant outcomes also where we're working with United Way.
I appreciate that, Reverend. We'll definitely follow up because I want to be informed around everything you're talking about. I did meet with Michelle Taylor probably a month ago or so, because the United Way is real involved with the governor's fellows training and placement of those fellows for the summer programming that we're talking about. And I am very familiar with the learning hubs, in part because I met with Michelle Taylor's and of course folks at the department, but especially Michelle Taylor. So I suspect in meeting with you, there'll be some things, you know, that I learned that I, you know, otherwise wouldn't. So I'll set up a time where we can talk.
Okay, wonderful. And then lastly, and you might not be up to speed with the most recent involvement or evolution of what's going on with the new Bancroft, but I do see that there is construction.
I am. I've walked numerous times. I'm very familiar. I was there the day they began bringing down the building across the street.
Yeah, that's encouraging for the community. So that was, and I think one of the streets are being closed and so forth. Things are moving forward. So be interested to see how that project is moving, you know, with the governor's support and also with the mayor, city of Wilmington, partnering with their ARPA funds to turn the east side of Wilmington around also. So that's good.
Yeah, it's a huge project. You are correct. It is going to impact two roads pretty significantly, and it's going to be a very large school, and our job is to make sure that we have students to fill it with.
Great. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you.
Is there anything else for Secretary Holliday? All righty. We'll move to formal public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. As a reminder, the board will not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue with those offering comments during the board meeting. Opportunity to sign up for the public comment was also available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make a verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. We will hear from speakers from the sign-up sheet who are present in the meeting room in person first. Then we will recognize speakers logged into via the URL in order that they have signed up. Comments should be limited to 2 minutes for individuals and 3 minutes for organizations. Mrs. Smith, do we have anybody?
We do. We have Kendall Massett from the Delaware Charter Schools Network.
All righty, we get Shell now.
So Kendall Massett will receive 3 minutes for that. And our IT team will send the invite to unmute.
I, is everybody there? My computer froze.
Yes, we can hear you, Ms. Bassett. I'll start the timer. If you'd like to provide your comment now, you have 3 minutes.
Thanks. I won't take that long. Kendall Massett, Executive Director for the Delaware Charter Schools Network. Thank you, Mr. Lofink, for bringing up charter schools. I wasn't going to make any comments tonight. And I couldn't find my statement on the Wilmington Learning Collaborative. Let's to be very clear, we support the Wilmington Learning Collaborative. And we were in discussions at the very beginning about this. It's just a lot of the things that are happening in the Wilmington Learning Collaborative, we already do. We already have a lot of the flexibility. So we are excited for what will come from the collaborative. We support it and look forward to working with our district counterparts, the department, the city, and anyone involved in it as we move forward. And we look forward to see how it does great things for our students in the city of Wilmington. And finally, I have to say thank you, Shelby, for being such a great state board member this year. I'm glad to be your advocate and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you. Yeah,
I'm out. Thank you.
Thank you. Like that. Is there anyone else?
We do not have anyone else signed up in the chat box, and there was no one signed up by email.
Thank you. Alrighty, I am seeking a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Not going to believe this. Lofink, so moved.
Wow. Lofink made a motion. Need a second.
Reverend Powell, second.
Reverend Powell, second. Any objections? Motion carries unanimously. It is 6:36 p.m. and this meeting is adjourned.
Great. Good evening. Take care.
Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everyone.